every person not only has guardian angels of the celestial type, but they also have at least one departed loved one with them, watching over them. And the departed loved ones appear to be fulfilling their life purpose vicariously through their living loved ones.
Does everybody have a separate guardian angel? Let's say 6.8 billion people on this planet. Are there 6.8 billion guardian angels or a handful of them that are doing
more like
triple duty?
It'd be something like more like 13.2 million or even more than that, because every person I've ever seen has at least two angels. And these days, with more and more people believing in angels, the number increases. Because when you believe in angels, it attracts more angels to you. And fortunately, they're completely unlimited. There's no end in sight of how many angels are available to us. And it's very smart to call in more angels. They form kind of like a castle moat around you of protection and just help your life to be more smooth and harmonious. So you don't have to believe even in angels to call in them, because once you call in them, you'll start to have these experiences that you can't explain otherwise that are very positive.
Where do they reside, generally, Doreen?
They reside right next to us. It's very much like on your television set, how you have ABC, you have CBS, you have NBC, and they're all right next to each other, but different vibrations, so they don't bleed over into each other. So the angels are right next to your head and your shoulders and right there, real close to you, all day long, every single day. But they vibrate just at a higher rate because they don't. They're never afraid. They're always at peace. And that's what they're trying to help us to do.
Do they eat? Do they sleep?
Apparently, they don't have a physical body, and they don't need any kind of sustenance. And even if they make a temporary human experience, I haven't heard any reports of them eating or drinking. So they, you know, this is the nice thing when you don't have a human body. Gosh, think of how much more time you'd have. You wouldn't have to worry about eating or drinking or calories or anything.
But they can manifest themselves into a physical body.
Absolutely, and they can be very strong people. Every week I write for a magazine called Woman's World, and so I get a lot of, and I have a true angel experience column in this very mainstream magazine. It's amazing. And then I've collected a lot of these stories for the Saved by an Angel book. So my point is I've read just thousands and thousands of these stories, and I can tell the sincerity of the stories, and also met with people who've had angel experiences. And what I found is that when angels take on a human form and show up temporarily, it's always because there's some sort of urgent need. Either that person's really depressed or they're very afraid. Maybe they went to the doctor that day and are waiting for the test results. And so some stranger will come up and say, you know what, everything's going to be okay, Mary, and doesn't know their name, but that's their name. I remember one story of a woman who was in the ocean, and there was some sort of tides that caused her to feel like she was drowning. And all of a sudden, she felt these pair of hands just grab her lovingly and push her to the surface and help her to get out of the ocean. And she never saw the person, but she definitely felt the sense of someone helping her. And that kind of experience, I receive those stories almost every day now.
Do the angels, when they manifest themselves into a human form, is it possession of somebody and they're in their body, or have they created this body out of nowhere?
That's what it appears, that they absolutely created the body from scratch, or the experience of body. And so a lot of times when there's an angel that shows up in human form, a whole group of people will see the angel. That's really common. And then the angel will enact some sort of physical experience, like lifting a car out of the snow or delivering a message or just helping the person in some way. There's a story in Saved by an Angel of a woman who, before the age of cell phones, she had her car had just conked out, and it was the middle of the night, and it was in a bad neighborhood. And the security guard just showed up out of nowhere, and he offered to call an ambulance or a tow truck for her. Mm-hmm. And then before she could say thank you, he just vanished before her eyes. And that kind of experience is what we're hearing more and more, where the person will be out in the middle of the snow, and two people will show up with a jack to lift the snow, car of the snow, or they'll physically pull it out, and there's no footprints at all. There's another story in Saved by an Angel of a woman who was about to commit suicide, and she went out to a cliff, and she was going to throw herself over the edge of the cliff, and she was just completely so depressed and so distraught she wanted to end it all, and she felt a tap on her shoulder and turned around, and it was this man with very unusual eyes, because that's what these angels show up and look like, and he sat and just listened to her talk for 2 hours, and at the end of the 2 hours, she was composed enough where she realized she didn't want to commit suicide, and then he was gone, and she went to look, because there was sand all over the place for his footprints, and there was only her footprints.
Footprints in the sand.
Exactly.
These people who die and they become ghostly apparitions, mm-hmm. That's different from an angel, right?
Oh, yes, yes. And so, like in the case of grandparents, like you mentioned, our beloved relatives and friends who show up just to let us know that we're okay, they're okay, and that they want us to move on with our lives, those kind of apparitions have happened to a lot of people. And Dr. Ian Stevenson, of course, studied that in length of the University of Virginia. And he found that people who've had those apparition experiences, usually a one-time experience where you have your eyes open, you see this bluish-white light, and you see this figure that's holographic. It always reminds me of the ghost you see at the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland and Disney World, because it's that 3D appearance to it. And then they talk to you without words. It's wordless words. And they always say things like, I'm okay, don't worry about me, I love you, I'm watching over you. And then they're gone. And that's the true apparition experience. Most people, when they connect with their deceased loved ones more often, it'll be through their dreams. And the dreams, when the loved ones come to you, Dr. Ian Stevenson found that they are very lucid dreams with strong emotions and vivid colors, and you remember the dream years later as if it happened yesterday.
Why does it seem that the people just seem fascinated with angels? I mean, your books, of course, but there have been TV shows. You can't go into a novelty store, you know, or a 5 and 10 type. They don't even have 5 and 10 anymore. I'm aging myself.
Well,
you have little figurines of angels.
Yeah,
everywhere.
And people wearing pins, you know, the little angel pins. You see that all the time at the airports.
What's the fascination?
Well, it's really a form of comforting ourselves. And, you know, when we feel anxiety, just thinking about angels can help you to feel more safe, more secure, and much calmer. And I think that, you know, we all agree that there's just more stress right now than ever. People are working two jobs to make ends meet, or if they've got one job, they're usually doing the work of three people because of layoffs, and people are financially insecure. And then every other day, there's talk of the end of the world and, you know, financial stress.
So people want hope.